Let's open up this morning in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be able to come out again this morning and just kind of learn more about you. And as these four ladies just sang, that you're with us in the valleys, but you're also with us on the high tops of the mountains. Just that we'll always remember that you're with us no matter where we are in our life, and that you will bless us. Bless us and help us as we go along in life. I just praise you that the kids had a good week at camp this past week, and that you will just bless all of us as they'll be kind of giving testimonies and just different things that happened throughout the week for them, whether they were the junior kids or the teens. And then also just bless us as Pastor Kyle brings this message this morning, and just help us to have our hearts and minds open just to hear what he's going to present before us just later this morning. In your name, amen.
If you will, stand with me. We're going to start with the song, Lord Be Glorified in My Life. Then we'll be singing hymn number 1, O Worship the King, and then we'll return to the song that we started with, Lord Be Glorified.
Fountain. This is her last Sunday with us. She is, her children are stealing her, and and Dora and Tyler are stealing her and taking her to Kansas, and we're excited, and this is exciting. Be sure to wave your hand there, little young lady. Be sure to holler at her there. It's happy and sad at the same time, and those are great, great times. We've been enjoyed having you all these years at our church, and we bless you for that, and we're a blessing. And then Dora and them going out and live with them and bless them. It's just wonderful. Excited about our kids going off to Bible college and trying to serve God. Amen. And that's good. Let's give her a hand. Dora Fountain. Well, since she's leaving us, we have a baby. Stand up there, parents. Stand up there, Jeremy and Kristen. We have a baby here, Paisley. Let's all go, ooh, aw, there. So give him a hand. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Very, very good. Very good. Congratulations very much. We have some birthdays here also. We have Monday there is Mike Hirschberger's birthday. Where's his dear wife? There he is. How's he going to be? 40. Man alive, we should all pester him. That'd be a good one. 40. Let's give him a hand there. Mike Hirschberg. Y'all know them, right? Him. Then Anita. Where's Anita at? There she is. Happy birthday, young lady.
Thank you.
Okay, let's give her a hand there. Bill Wilmore, y'all that know Bill Wilmore, holler at him as he's getting older. And then Mel Kripe as he's getting older too. Mel, how old are you going to be?
I'll say you.
No, you're older than I am.
65.
Let's give him a hand. Woo! And then it's my birthday on Saturday, and I'm going to be 64. I'm always younger than Mel. And then we have some anniversaries here. We have Deb Reynolds, and here, how many? 35. Let's give her a hand there. And then the Barons, how many? 19 wonderful years. Let's give them a hand. And then the Baldwins, how many?
They're
what?
They're
14. Okay, let's give them a hand. Give them a hand. Are they downstairs? They're downstairs. Okay, with the kids there. And then Ron and Heidi, how many?
26
wonderful years. Very good. Then Max and Angie, where are y'all? There you are. How many wonderful years? 4 wonderful years. Very good. We're glad to have you very much. Very good. That's exciting there. Our church family, be sure to talk to Janice here and the babe here and all of our people. The church family. It's pretty neat. Yes.
I'm known Janice since the middle 70s. Over 40 years.
Wow.
She's one of the most godly, faithful women I've ever known.
Amen.
And her children rise up and follow her.
Amen.
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 She's had an interesting life and a challenging life.
Yep.
And I just really appreciate her.
Amen. Amen. Janice Fountain, raising godly kids, being godly, knowing her over 40 years. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. For my mom's memorial service, it's going to be next Sunday evening, and we're just going to have a time of testimony. She would rather you give, instead of flowers, she would rather you give gifts to Appalachian Bible College. So we're going to take money for that at the funeral time there, but we're going to give a gift to Appalachian Bible College. And in October sometime, my brother's going to spread her ashes down at a service down there also at Appalachian Bible College. But we would want every one of you to be here Sunday night at 6 o'clock, probably have a hour visitation before, and she's been at this church for 19 years, and that's something. But thank you for all of your concern, your cards, and your prayers. It's meant a lot to me. And but Andrew and them will be coming in, Chris will be here, my brother will be here, and so that'll be good. and I'll probably cry, so that's all right. But those are great times. In September here, we're going to have a baptism, and those are exciting times to catch that. If you've not been biblically baptized, talk to one of our pastors or one of our deacons. Baptism is important, is that right? It's a command to be baptized once you've been saved. And if you've not been biblically baptized, we're lining up one here in September, and that is just a wonderful time. Also, if you would like to help us clean our carpet, we have some dirty spots on our carpet. We have some spilled coffee all over the place. And if you'd like to help us, talk to me. We're going to be trying to clean it up this week. Yes, there is one way to solve that problem. No. Men, come forward for our morning offering. Lord bless you in your giving. It's good to see all of you here today. It's great to have Pastor Kyle and Julia. Amen. He's preaching this morning. We're excited they're with us very, very much. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being God. Lord, thank you for taking care of us. Lord, through death, through struggles, through terrible times, through good times, through blessings. Lord, it's wonderful to see you come through. God, in Ronnie and I's life, we've seen you come through this week and last week. And we had to struggle to see you. And we had to have troubles before we can have triumphs. And we have to have wars before we can win. And Lord, we struggle to have strength. And Lord, you come through. And God, help us to believe that when we do not see you, because you are still at work and you will never let us go without a plan. Lord, we love you for that because you are our God. Lord, bless us as we are entering a new year of our church. Bless us as our annual business meeting tonight, finalizing all the things from last year and visioning, looking in for what you're going to do this year. Lord, do bless. Lord, just thank you for all the kids in camp. Lord, we've been excited about that. Bless them as they give testimony this morning. Bless Pastor Kyle as he opens the Word. Lord, help the Word to come alive in each of our lives more today because we've been in the house of God. Lord, just bless. Be with Janice as she moves on. Bless her, Lord. Bless her. Lord, thank you for the new babe. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, build your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
that song leads us into the next part of our service here. We're going to continue our singing here and with hymn 321, Nothing Between, and then the song In His Time. And first I want to let the junior campers know who will be sharing testimonies that when we start singing the second song, In His Time, that junior campers, if you could come up and just stand here at the front, that way you'll be ready to give your testimonies. Those are going to share. If you will, all the junior campers will come up here to these front rows. That would be great. But as we think about the song, Nothing Between, it just really resonates. There have been decisions that have been made this week, and we're going to get to hear about that. And that's exciting. This song, Nothing Between, kind of talks about what happens next. It talks about worldly pleasures, pride, habits, friends that can sometimes get between us and the decisions we've made in our life. So as we sing this, be thinking in your life, maybe what's keeping that wall between you and the Savior, but also be praying for our juniors and our teens that made decisions that the Lord would allow nothing between their decisions and how they act them out in their life. Let's stand together, hymn 321, Nothing Between.
Clear.
going to have you guys take a step up here, if you will. Come on up. I know I didn't prepare them for that. That's just how I work sometimes. All right. Now, we're just going to pass this down. I guess you're first. All right. There were David Korn was our speaker this week. So the children got to have some games, some sword drills, some trivia questions, all kinds of things, then some illusions. And then, as was reminded every day, the most important part of our chapels was opening the Word of God. So what I'm going to have you guys do is, when I hand you the microphone, I do want you to tell the congregation what your name is, because some of them probably don't know who you are. Okay, so at least say your name. If you have a testimony, you can share it. If not, pass it on. It's all right. If all you say is your name, we understand, because some of you are scary right now. So, all right, here we go.
Hello, my name is Casey Wiles, and the Lord has done for me this week at camp is he helped me decide to obey my parents and listen more and pray more.
Hi, I'm Annie Yoder, and the topic for camp for the juniors was temptation, and that really helped me a lot to not give in to it, because then it is sin, and I just had a lot of fun.
I'm Catherine Buckland.
My name is Julie, and I've decided to give my body to Christ and obey him, even though I don't understand.
Hello, my name is Elsie, and this week I decided to also give my body to Christ and honor my parents while I'm obeying them.
Hi, my name is Sarah Barron, and I decided this week that I should protect my purity.
My name is Juliet, and I like the messages that Mr. Korn was talking, all the messages that Mr. Korn was talking about.
My name is Jillian Bell, and this week I learned to pray more and read the Bible more.
My name is Patrick, and I learned to read my Bible more and pray more.
Very good.
I'm Jordan, and I just want to thank the parents for letting us take your campers. Brother Korn spoke on some pretty heavy topics, but they were topics that were all relevant, things that our children will be facing or have already faced, and it was... Sometimes I squirmed, but it was a blessing to see the campers grow and to make bonds, even the teen campers. It was just a blessing to be there.
All right, you guys can go down. You guys can go down. I will say, good one. And teens, you can be coming. You can be coming and get spread out across the platform. Come on down. Any other teens? I know I've got a group back here, but the way David Korn presents his messages was just encouraging and challenging. If in those chapels, all the way across, in those chapels, all of us sponsors even got some great challenges out of what he was sharing. And I wanted to say that he's coming here in October. So between now and then, we need to be continually praying. One, for his ministry. Even more importantly, this Wednesday, they're going to be having their second born going into scheduled cesarean, I believe. So just be praying. Keep them in your hearts. He was totally excited. Joy was not able to be with him this week, but it was a blessing to us to be able to encourage him and spend some time with him. So that was just a great way to spend our time with him there.
I'm Natalie Barron, and I was really blessed this week by Morris Glazer's last sermon on being the light of the world and how you can't do that if you're hiding in your shell of embarrassment or whatever. And I was also really blessed by all the people that gave testimonies on the last night.
Hi, I'm Amanda Barron, and the main topic this week was about temptation. And one good point that Morris Kleister made was that you need to be memorizing scripture to help fight back. That was a good thought.
My name is Patience Barron, and one of the messages he preached was putting God on the throne of your life, that he needs to be first in everything. If you have holes, you can't fill them up with anything but him.
Hi, my name is Jocelyn Smith, and this week I learned that I need to put God in the throne of my life, and I need to respect my parents more in the way I think about them and act around them.
Hello, I'm Tyler Graff. I was blessed by two things this week. One was keeping myself pure for my wife until I get married. And there was one kid in my cabin from Columbia. He finally got raised enough money to come to camp this year, and he gave himself to the Lord.
Hello, my name is Kiana Sapero, and God has shown me this week that I should always make the right choices and always have God number one throughout my whole life.
I'm Allison Leiter, and I learned to shine my light in the world and make an impact of how God loves us.
Hi, I'm Cammie Vivens, and this week I learned to be more consistent in my prayer life and reading my Bible.
I'm Rachel Yoder, and this week we each had one-on-one time with our counselor, and during my one-on-one time, I decided to get reassurance on my salvation.
I'm Carl Van Heist, and this week the preacher was talking about temptation a lot, and you need to do better not falling into temptation, which some people struggle with.
My name is Frank Borick, and I also got reassured of my salvation this week.
My name is David McGuire, and he talked about, with the temptation, he talked about fighting the stronghold of sin, and yeah.
Hi, I'm Trinity Joy Hostetler, and this week at camp, first of all, I had a blast, and when Pastor Morris was talking, he said, do you just know the facts about God, or do you actually know God like you would know your best friend? Like, do you know your best friend's favorite color, you know their favorite animal, you know just those great things about them, but do I just know the facts about God? And that really touched my heart.
Hi, I'm Julia. I just wanted to thank you. I don't really have a testimony. You heard everything from them. But I just wanted to thank you for sending your teens to camp this week. Kyle and I went back to our room every night saying what a blessing they were to us. And we were sitting under the same teaching as they were. And it was just a blessing to grow together. But keep praying for them. There's no feeling quite in the world like knowing that you're being prayed for. And this is the hard part. The camp sitting under that every day was the easy part. And so now this is where it comes into reality for them, for all of us. And again, thank you for your teenagers. They reached out to us this week, and they really opened themselves up to us, which was just really neat to see, and it was a blessing. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for the week. Thank you for, I'm going to set this over here. Thank you for sending your teens, trusting them with us, and the week that we had was wonderful. We grew, my wife and I grew, we were challenged as well. Just two quick announcements before Martin comes to read an introduction passage to the message today. Young adults, 18 to 26, we're starting our Bible study this evening, right over there, right after the kids come up for the business meeting, we will head straight over there. And also, continuing the camp idea, be praying for those going to family camp. I believe the Halls and Jason and Cassandra Holdeman are going to family camp this next week. So pray that the Lord would knit their hearts together as a family unit this next week. All right, Martin.
Good morning. Page 880 in the Red Pew Bible, if you're using that. And if you would please stand with me if you're able as I read from the Word. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thank you. You may be seated.
There has been a recent spike in a particular physical exercise. Since 1990 to 2015, a particular exercise has increased in popularity by 300%. It's particularly popular with millennials, and I frankly don't get it. Running. I did it for a little while, and then I realized why I don't like to do it. I don't get the concept of running until your insides hurt and your legs hurt and you want to go back for more, right? Running has become a common thing to do, and like many things in life, like most things in life, if it's good for you, it's probably not enjoyable, right? And as we talk about our spiritual life, we know that there's a text of Scripture that refers to running the race. Hebrews chapter 12, wonderful text, we're not going to go there. But as we run this race, and as we think about coming back from camp, as we think about whatever spiritual energy that we get, from whatever context, maybe it's camp for the teenagers, maybe for us it's something else. Maybe we go to a conference, or maybe it's just a great time in the Word, or in prayer, or in meditation. How do we continue that spiritual energy? Because I went to camp, I worked at camp. Working at camp is not much different than being a camper in that you work there, you get all worked up spiritually, things are going great, you love it, you're energized, you're challenged, you make decisions, you confess sins. You do that as a worker too. You do that as a counselor too. Because the Word changes people, so if I'm teaching people in the Word, I'm being changed. And then you go home. You're away from the context where scriptural challenge is mandatory, right? It's pushed on you. And you begin to struggle. You begin to wonder, I was doing so great a week ago, and why now am I falling into the same temptations, experiencing the same lusts, knowing the same pains and hurts? But we don't just do that at camp, do we? We do great for a period of however long because we come to church, we get especially challenged, we do great, and we have some spiritual energy, and then we kind of tail off, and we wonder what happened from 2 or 3 weeks ago. The spiritual life is a cycle, and so how do we continue this energy? That's where I think we find the answer in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now remember, as we consider 2 Timothy, Paul is specifically talking to a young man who's going to be a pastor. This is a discipleship book. Paul is discipling Timothy to help him become a better and more effective minister of the gospel. But as we find applications in our own hearts, we understand that we can take any book of Scripture, all books of Scripture, and understand principally that no matter what the specific context is, it speaks to every need of my heart. So how do we continue this spiritual energy? And I hope you were listening carefully to Brother Martin's introduction passage that he read. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 starts as a pretty discouraging text. It starts pretty negative. This know also in the last days, the time just before Jesus will return. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be selfish people. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. And then he just goes on and on and on, describing all these different kinds of specific sins. And then we get to verse 10. And Paul does something in verse 10 that he does throughout his books. He will give this stark contrast using the word but. But thou hast fully known. Here's something different. Here's a contrast. It's like a however. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long suffering. And so he's giving a contrast. How do you avoid, how do we stay different from those who are living all these sins in the last times? What's the difference? Verse 14. How do you continue? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how do we continue spiritual energy no matter what phase of our spiritual life we're in? How do we keep going? I'm going to give you the most blessed basic of your spiritual life today. The Word of God is the most blessed basic you and I will ever experience in our relationship with God. God's Word is His mind manifest to us. And how do I continue? I understand that I am solely dependent and sufficient in God's Word and in God's Word alone. And I want to introduce to you this message's theme by understanding verse 15, or verse 16 a little bit better. All scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration, you probably know, means breath. All scripture is God-breathed. And as we understand, as we get outside in the cold and we breathe and see our breath, sometimes we smell our breath, but as we see our breath, we understand that God's Word is that breath that we get to know and experience, and we understand that the breath of God's Word is the life of God's people. How do you continue? How do you keep going? The Word of God. Because just as you run and you run, or maybe you don't, I do, just as I run and I run out of breath, I need some sort of strength to keep me going. And as I run this spiritual race, as I walk, and then I take steps where I'm advancing and I'm walking a little bit faster and I begin to run and He begins to work in me, I experience times of hardship. How do I keep running? The breath of God's Word is the life of God's people. Let's pray. We'll begin to work through the passage together. Our Father, we praise You for Your Word, that it has the power to change us, to transform us, to turn on the lights of our hearts, not just to salvation, but every single day as we understand the difference between Your law and our hearts and our bent to do what's wrong, our selfishness, that we know You better through this glorious Word that You've given us. Help us to continue in the things that You have taught us, the things that others have taught us. And even now, as we listen to this message, as I have listened to it already from Your Spirit, I ask for Your wisdom and communicating it your strength in communicating it, passion that will come from your Spirit. And for each one of us, as we are confronted by the realities of your word, that it would change us, that we would know what areas of our hearts do not look like and sound like Jesus Christ, so that you may make us like him, so that we may be better effective servants for you because of his great sacrifice for us. And in your name I pray. Amen. Starting in verse 14 together. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So campers, continue. Keep going. The rest of us. God teaches. God is a change agent. He does something in us. Continue. Continue in what? The things which thou hast learned. Verse 14 will find Scripture's dual accountability. Scripture's dual accountability. It keeps us accountable. God's word demands something of us. And it does it twofold. First of all, it keeps the listener responsible to follow. The listener is responsible to follow the Scriptures. What's Paul saying to Timothy? Continue in what you have learned. Continue things which thou hast learned and been assured of. You've been taught these things. God has provided disciples in your life to teach you. You have been listening to this instruction, and you are responsible to continue in them, to keep going, to keep pursuing this knowledge of the one who changed you, to stay in the Word, to love the Word, to allow it to be the foundation of who you are, the center of your life, as it was, we will find the source of our life. And as it is the source of our life, we are responsible to continue in what God has begun in us. Because there was a time when I pursued my own lusts, I worshiped myself, and I followed my eternal destination, which was rightfully and just my condemnation. And that's who I was before I was a believer in Jesus Christ. That's who I was before the Spirit began to work in me. And he opened my eyes, and what did he do? What did he do for you? Verse 15, he made you wise unto salvation. He turned on the light. We'll get there in just a minute. You're responsible to follow in that. Now, is God active in your sanctification? Yes. Are you active in your sanctification? Yes. We work together. And you could not be a better follower of Jesus Christ without the changing work of God in your life. And you will not be a better follower of Jesus Christ if you do not make consistent choices to be so. It is a two-way street. The listener is responsible to follow Scripture. Now, God's word is God's wisdom and God's way for us as we wonder, how should we then live? If you're in great need of employment, you've been without a job, you experienced need, and someone came along and they said, I have a job for you, I can provide employment for you. And they did. They gave you a job. You had no background in this job. You'd never done this particular job before. And they began the training process in you, and you stiff-armed them and said, I think I can do this. I got this, no worries. Appreciate the job, but I got this. You don't need to tell me how to do my job. It's my job now. The response would probably, well, actually it wouldn't be had I not provided this job for you, right? Do you want my help or do you not? Do we ever, as followers in Jesus Christ who had an eternal need met by an eternal God, come to him and say, I know you've given me all this now. I know Jesus Christ died for me. I get that. I'm good now. I can take care of it from here. I do. God, I know I'm proud. I'm working on it. Just give me some more time. Like, 50 years. Being fully assured of everything that we've been given, everything that's been done for me, I do my best to live completely independent of that source. Like I think I can take care of it. And when we put it in terms of human perspective, like employment, you owe that person something. And then we think about it in terms of eternal ramifications. God did not have to give me himself. He did so for the simple and glorious reality that he chose to. And I owe him something. And I need his help to continue. So the listener is responsible to follow. Now, the end of verse 14. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This phrase means being confident in the ones who taught you. Continue in them, you fully believed them, being confident of those who taught you. So secondly, the teacher is responsible to stay faithful. There's a discipleship aspect going on here. Paul says you can be confident in what you have learned because God has provided for you people who taught you well. He's probably referring to specifically Timothy's family, excluding his father, who was probably not a follower of Christ. We know that Timothy had a godly mother and that his grandmother was around as well. And obviously we know Paul was present in his life. Paul was a pretty good discipler, right? So Paul says, be confident in those who taught you because they discipled you in the things of the Lord well. Now, question then becomes, if you are a teacher or aspire to be, how committed are you to the word? Because the obligation to, listen to me, the obligation to stay faithful to God's word when it is taught is a matter of the most serious importance in this life. Because this is not what Kyle Grant or Mike Fisher says, or any other teacher in this room says. This is what the God of the ages says. And none of us like to be misquoted or misrepresented. You know, someone says something and it gets back to you and you're like, that's not what I said. That's not even close to what I meant. Or maybe we take an emotion wrong. You realize there's emotions in Scripture. God had an emotion behind that Holy Spirit appointed writer that he wanted to include. Sometimes we say things that God doesn't say, and we make him have feelings that he actually didn't mean for us to learn from that text. God forbid that in any room at Grace Bible Church, we say what we want God to say rather than what he wants us to hear. God forbid there ever be a time in my life when I, as a preacher of his word, come to his word and say, I know that's what it means, but I'd really rather say, etc. Or I come to God's word thinking of a person or my own pet philosophy that I want to prove, and it's God's word. And it's his words to his people that we may have life and have it abundantly. So if you are a teacher, say what God says for his sake, because he deserves it, and because it is the absolute best thing that his people can hear. It is stabilizing and sufficient. It changes us, it comforts us, it gives us peace, it empowers us. sometimes we don't commit ourselves to the Word simply because we don't understand what it can do. We don't know what it is. We don't know what God is trying to accomplish through His Word. If you're a teacher of His Word, a preacher of His Word, you say, I'm not. Well, have you ever discipled anybody? I hope so. You should be. Have you ever counseled anybody? Well, I'm not a professional counselor. Everyone has had someone at some point come to them and say, I'm struggling. Are you going to be faithful to God's Word and say what He says? Because it does not matter what we think. I cannot speak words of life except when I open up my Bible and you open up your Bible to a text of Scripture to feed someone's soul, to provide spiritual energy that they may continue. God's Word is a serious and beautiful thing. And the best thing I can do, both as a listener and as a teacher, is explain it in such a way and understand it in such a way that it speaks for itself. Because that is what I want. That is what we, as followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, should want. God's Word to speak for itself and not get in its way. Scripture's dual accountability. It keeps me accountable if I'm a follower, and it keeps me accountable if I'm a teacher. So, are you following, and are you faithful? Well, I think so. I hope so. I think so. Trial comes. Circumstance comes. Someone comes to your life, into your path for guidance. Is your first thought, let me think about what God's Word says? Or is it, well, let me analyze this situation so that I can become an expert on this situation, so that I can give them advice? It is actually pretty easy to tell how much we rely on God's Word. Because if any temptation apart from, yeah, oh, I know a passage, or I don't know a passage, but I'm going to find one. It's okay to say I don't know that right off the top of my head. I will find one for you. It would be like someone thirsting, about to die of thirst, and you leading them to a well and taking a tiny paper cup and then pulling little tiny paper cups of water and giving them to them rather than just saying, drink. Do what you want. There's as much water right there as you need. And sometimes we become so self-dependent in terms of how we teach God's Word, which is pretty counterintuitive if you think about it. Are you faithful to God's Word? Are you following God's Word? So why should we be faithful, and why should we follow? Because we find in verses 15 and 16, Scripture's divine accomplishments. Scripture's divine accomplishments. What does God's Word do? Specifically from this text, what does God's Word really do? Let's read verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Scripture begins in us the light of salvation. Scripture begins in us the light of salvation. It's able to make you wise. It's able to turn on the light. Just as you walk into a dark room and you need to know where you're going so you don't stub your toe or run over something, you turn on the light. It provides guidance. It provides clarity. There was a time in every single one of our lives where we loved darkness rather than light. And that's how I was going to continue. Except the Holy Spirit began a work in me. I heard passages from His Word that turned on the light. I had a great friend at school. He was one of the most Spirit-filled people I'd ever met. He was one of those guys that he wasn't Mr. Charisma. He was not Mr. Personality. I had Greek class with him, and he would literally find mistakes in the textbook. I wanted to kill him, you know? He would correct the teacher, and he was right. He was just a genius, amazing guy. He grew up in Wyoming in a town of 18 people, and he would always say, and 11 of them were my family. He was Mormon. He grew up in a Mormon home. And he had no scriptural influence. No youth pastor. He knew no believers. Literally knew no believers where he lived in Wyoming. But he had the Mormon Bible, the Book of Mormon, and he had the edition that was King James parallel. So he had the King James and the Book of Mormon. He said, I just got curious one day, so I started reading Isaiah. He said, I read Isaiah 3 times in one day. Isaiah's pretty long. He said, I just began to read it. And just to hear him talk about it, he had this quiet excitement, and he would just get so quietly excited. I would just read it. And I read it for 3 or 4 months. And I realized that what I learned all my life was wrong. He said, it took about 6 months, but then I went to the New Testament, and I started to understand Isaiah, which at this point, he'd become pretty much an expert on. And literally, with no spiritual outside influence, no human, just the Word of God, led him to Jesus Christ. Absolutely fascinating. And I'm sitting there going, oh, that is an amazing story. And then I think, actually, that's pretty normal. That's what God's Word does. It's us who think that we need some sort of perfect Romans Road program for salvation, an extra program for whatever in our church so that people get the gospel. It's just my job to show them texts of Scripture that contain the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does the work. It turns on the light. And if I understand who I am apart from God's Word, it's a scary reality. Because Proverbs tells me that what I am in my heart is really what I am. What I think in my heart is what I am. So Scripture, what I think, it would not be apart from the Word that turns on the spiritual light and calls me out of darkness and into marvelous, glorious light, that what? I may show forth the excellency of Him who called me into that light. Scripture begins in us the light of salvation. And not a day should go by in my life, and I'm afraid too many do. Not a day should go by in my life where I'm not absolutely astounded that God's Word turned on the light of my heart. And that I am not what I should be, John Newton. I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. And I am what I am by the grace of God. And at one time I was a great sinner, but He is a great Savior. And I would know none of that apart from God's Word turning on the light. But it's not just effective for one day in my life as I come to Him. It breathes into us the life of sanctification. It turned on the light of salvation, and now it breathes into us the life of sanctification. All Scripture, every word is given by the breath of Almighty God. And it's profitable. It's sufficient. It's enough for what? Doctrine. This is the teaching, the fundamental core teaching of Scripture. It's profitable to teach me that a God who is holy and eternal and triune in nature created all things and made mankind for the purpose of communion with them and glory from them. And that man sinned and damaged all of mankind with a nature that only God could reverse. And in order to redeem them, his son became a man through a virgin and would give his life as a man in order to restore that communion with God. And that after the departure of his son, God's Spirit would burst into the world and out of the apostles and servants of God and establish a body, the church, both local and universal, for the restored sinners of every tribe and tongue and nation to carry his redemptive plan of a kingdom that is to come that is not of this world. And all through history, he would move upon men that he had appointed to pen precise words and phraseology of the Spirit of God to proclaim all this glorious doctrine ordained by God. It's profitable to teach us that, because that is the fundamental storyline of Scripture. That's it. That is the doctrine of this word. That is the teaching of this word. Did you get that? That was a lot of words. Basically, God created man. Man fell. Only God could change it. So he sent Jesus. Jesus gave his life. And now I can come to God again. And he gave me another way to come to him. Every single day. Or every moment, if I want to. It's profitable for doctrine. It teaches us what is right. I know what I should be and what I should do because of God's word. It teaches me what is correct. But it also teaches me what is wrong for reproof. It teaches me the negative. Stay away from that. Thou shalt not. Why? Because God's a God of rules that I'm just supposed to submit to and live my little righteous robot duty. He is a God of rules, and I should submit to him because he is utmost pleasure. And he is aware that he is the greatest need of my life. Why does he say do and don't and stay away from and thou shalt not? So that I may do what I was intended to do and have communion and pleasure with him. That I may fellowship with him, which man broke and God restored. It teaches us what is wrong. So do we then think negatively of what God thinks negatively of? Because there are too many times in my life when I'm afraid that I ask questions like, well, I wonder if I could fill in the blank and stay close to God. I wonder if that's okay. I know whether it is or not because I have his word. And it teaches me what is right and what is wrong. But it doesn't just leave us at what is wrong. It teaches us how to make what's wrong right. It's profitable for correction. You don't have to stay broken. Because Jesus made a way. And you are now whole. And every single day, just as you chose him for your salvation, you must choose him for your sanctification every single day. Because he makes me whole. If you imagine your life as a canvas, and every single minute of every single day before I knew Jesus Christ, I was filling my canvas with black filth and dirt from sin, because that's just what I did apart from Jesus Christ. And at a moment in time when he filled my heart and I gave my life to him, he took his blood and he wrung it out of my canvas and wiped it clean. And he is not painting a better you. He's painting himself. Because he knows how to make what's wrong with me look like him. So I must submit to him when he attempts to correct me. When he wants to correct me, when I'm aware from his word that something does not align. And finally, he teaches me how to keep it right for instruction in righteousness. Because it was righteousness that saved you. It was righteousness that bought me out of the slave market of sin, because Jesus was perfect and is perfect. And I am so far from it that it is literally scary. Because that's who I am apart from Jesus Christ. And he makes me right, he corrects me, he changes me. And then as I continue with this spiritual energy that he provided, he keeps it right. He makes me look like him. So this is all the wonderful, rich doctrine of this text. But do you realize that out of all the wonderful, rich doctrine, this is the most blessed and practical basic of your Christian life? Everything in your Christian life depends upon what you think about God's Word. To continue camp, when I was a counselor in my second year, the first year, the camper, this very last week come, his name was Damien. And Damien came from about as tough a background as you can come. He was an inner city kid. He brought 2 shirts and 3 pairs of shorts to camp, because that's what he had. Brought basketball shoes. He had no idea this was a Christian camp. He had no idea what he was about to get into. So he showed up, and he was incredibly rough personality, not like a super, you know, cozy guy. And I began to explain to him things that would happen this week. We're going to have messages every day. We're going to have devotions every day. And this was like, are you kidding me? Like, it wasn't like boring to him. It was maddening. It legitimately bothered him that he came to this camp. Obviously, he wasn't a believer. He came to this camp, and he was going to have to do this stuff. So that night, get ready to go to the service, and got all my campers in the row, which is, as a camp counselor, that's actually quite an achievement, okay? Everyone's there. You're like, yes, we're ready to go. And then I looked and I realized Damien wasn't there, so I ran back to the cabin. He was sitting there just staring at the floor. I said, all right, dude, we got to go. He said, I'm not going. I said, no, really, we've got to go. So I talked him into it. We got halfway there, and he looked at me and he said, if I go in there, I will start a fight. And if you could see the seriousness in his eyes, I thought, we probably shouldn't go in there. Right? So I took him to the back, and I just began to talk to him. I said, dude, tell me about yourself. So I got his story, heartbreaking. And I said, the only thing I know to do is just to tell you a story. And so I took him to Hosea, told him about a story. I told him that story about the sinful wife who God said, said to Hosea, go love her, take her, marry her, fully knowing that she would leave him. I just told him that story about how God is this redeemer that brings people back to him, and he loves them. He's doing something in them, and he constantly wants them back. It blew his mind. He thought God was this evil person. That was his perspective. God was out to get me. I can't submit my life to God. I told him the story, and by God's grace, he believed it. And he began to ask questions. And I started to realize the light was coming on in him. About 2 hours later, he talked to God and asked him to save him and forgive his sins, and he gave him his life. Hearing him talk to God was the coolest thing I've ever heard. He talked to God like he was talking to God, just like he would talk to anybody else. At the end of the week, I was crying with him because he said, I'm going to go home. Oh, by the way, after he got saved, I said, now do you want to go into the service? And he was like, yeah, if he's going to teach the Bible, I want to hear it. It's like the change. I got to see God's word really do its power. So by the end of the week, he was crying. He said, I was crying. He said, I'm not going to go back to a place where this is going to be good. This is going to really bother my family. And all I needed to tell him was, if you stay in this book, you really will be okay. If you read it, you memorize it, you meditate on it, you think about it, if this word becomes the most important thing in your life, I promise you, you will be okay. That's the only thing I knew to tell him. I don't know what in your life you're facing. I don't know what sin you're trying to get through. I don't know what temptation constantly throws its fiery darts at you. I know my pride and my issues. And if we stay in this book, we really will be okay. We will actually excel, and we will run, and God will give us energy and power from His Spirit to change. So let's, as a church and as individuals, commit ourselves to this word, and we really will be okay. Let's continue in it. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for what it does in us. Thank you that it always changes us. Thank you that your breath is our life. And in your name I pray these things. Amen.